We come before you and we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would go before us, that you would bless our time. Anoint your word, Lord, as we take this reference to what Patrick taught according to your word, the final authority. God, I pray for your blessing on it. I know Kevin is very busy, and I'm sure Karen is too, and I just pray that you would bless the time that we have here. Speak to us through your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I took this out of 2 Samuel chapter 9. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to highlight on it. I titled it, David Treats Mephibosheth with Dignity. In chapter 9, it records probably one of the neatest stories in the scriptures. I love this story. It's a story that reveals what kind of man David really was. Paul the Apostle saw God's kindness in the coming of Christ and his work on the cross. Here we see it in the way David deals with Mephibosheth. It's a great illustration of God's kindness to lost sinners. You know, when we think of King David, we usually think of his sin he committed with Bathsheba, killed her husband Uriah the Hittite, one of David's 30 mighty men. We think of his sin in numbering the children of Israel in 2 Samuel 24, where 70,000 plus people died. But we often don't mention his character and the love he had for God, and really the things God had done in his life for Israel and for David's people. Someone said there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us, it behooves most of us not to talk about the rest of us. That's true. There are a lot of things in the life of David, from being a young shepherd boy who killed a giant to an older man who had the wisdom and experience to write many of the Psalms. Just a couple examples. Psalm 23, verse 1. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Psalm 23, verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here in chapter 9, we see the gracious side of David's character. He shows kindness in keeping Mephibosheth's dignity. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son, and actually King Saul's grandson. Now, the reason why I say this is, according to the custom of the day, a new king would put to death those who could inherit the throne from the last king. They would be removed by execution, which would then protect the new king from any threat. Accordingly, David would have been justified in putting to death any of the offspring of Israel's first king, Saul. So when Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle, a son of Jonathan's was taken into hiding because he was found. He could have been killed. Well, that little boy was Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. David could have established his throne even more by killing him. But it's amazing in what David does. Mephibosheth was somewhere around 5 years old when his father died in battle. Now he's about 21 years old, and he even had a son of his own. David wanted to show kindness to Jonathan. He loved Jonathan. But because Jonathan was dead, David looked for a relative of Jonathan to show kindness to them for Jonathan's sake. Well, when you think about that, that's the way it is with you and I as God's children. We were called and we were saved, not because we deserve anything from God, but for the sake of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 6, Ephesians 4, verses 30 to 32. You might have heard this saying, and it's worth repeating. God in His grace gives us what we don't deserve, and God in His mercy doesn't give us what we do deserve. You know, when Mephibosheth was brought before David, I could only imagine what was going through this young guy's mind. If he believed what his grandfather, King Saul, said about David, well, he would have good reason to fear for his life. But if he listened to what his father, Jonathan, told him about David, I think he wouldn't have been afraid. Mephibosheth falls on his face, likely expecting to be killed. But instead, David speaks kindly to him. He even calls him by his name. David takes Mephibosheth under his wings, and he restores to him the land his father Jonathan would have inherited from his father, King Saul. Then he asks him to live at the palace and to eat at the king's table. That's what God the Father's doing for us. We have been invited to heaven, to paradise. We are going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember when David had eaten at Saul's table? It almost cost him his life. Three times Saul threw a spear and almost pinned David to the wall. But here, Mephibosheth is going to eat at David's table, and David is going to protect him and care for him. He's treating him with dignity. Not only does David restore his inheritance to him and give him a permanent place at the king's table, he honors Mephibosheth as one of his own sons. You know, it's pretty amazing because I could see Mephibosheth sitting there with the king's sons. From the waist up, he looked like any of the other king's sons. But below that table, his feet were lame. He couldn't walk. We read in chapter 9 that Mephibosheth looks at himself as a dead dog. And yet Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 6 says, "We were all dead in trespasses and sins when Christ called us and gave us new life." You see, just the fact David made the first move to help Mephibosheth reminds us of this. It was God the Father who first reached out to us. He started tugging on our hearts. The scripture says we were estranged from God. We were God's enemies. Amazingly, God loved us so much. He sent his son to die for us and in our place so we could go and spend eternity with him in heaven. Romans 5:8. For David to help restore and treat Mephibosheth with dignity, it cost him only the land of his grandfather Saul, which, by the way, Mephibosheth never paid for. God helped us and brought us into his family. We never paid for anything, but it did cost Jesus his life. What David did for Mephibosheth was incredible. But there are other lessons with some great spiritual truths. First of all, as sinners, we recognize we are cripples in God's sight. Isaiah 53 verse 6 makes it very clear. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Proverbs 16:25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death." No doubt David remembered for the rest of his life he had a crippled young man eating at his table. Why would I say that? David said in Psalm 56, verse 13, "For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" He said in Psalm 73, verse 2, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." You see, David knew what it was all about to have lame feet. He understood that. In Psalm 116, verse 8, he says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Every one of us are cripples before God. Romans 7, verse 18. David, secondly, showed kindness to Mephibosheth for the sake of Jonathan. Here's where it really gets awesome. David didn't know Mephibosheth, but he did what he did for the sake of Jonathan, whom he loved. Here's what's so amazing. When David looked on Mephibosheth, he didn't see a crippled young man. You know who he saw? He saw Jonathan. When God looks at us as born-again believers, he doesn't see Rick or Kevin or Karen. He sees his son, Jesus Christ. We've been declared righteous because of Christ's shed blood. That means the kindness, the mercy, the grace, and dignity David gave to a helpless person was for the sake of another. The incredible news is God has saved us because of another. God is showing us his kindness, his mercy, his grace, and dignity for the sake of another, his son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, David never brought up Mephibosheth's feet. There's no record in Scripture that David ever mentioned it or made a reference to it. Instead, he treated Mephibosheth like a prince. Mephibosheth sat at the king's table with his feet covered. Even though he couldn't walk, he sat there at the table and he didn't look any different than the other king's sons. He sat there looking like one of them, a prince. It just makes me remember that God forgets and forgives our sin because it's blotted out by the blood of Christ. Fourthly, Mephibosheth said nothing about his feet. What did David and Mephibosheth talk about when they sat around that table? You know what? I have no doubt in my heart and spirit they talked about Jonathan, because David loved him. Some like to talk about the good old days when they lived in sin. But when we get together, our conversation should be about the Lord and praising him for what he has done and continues to do for us and in our lives. Fifthly, lastly, no one said anything about Mephibosheth's feet. So there's a spiritual application for us, and I'll wrap this up with this. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." One day soon, we are going to experience what Mephibosheth experienced, but in a greater way. We will all sit around a table called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and we will experience in a powerful way God's kindness as God treats us with dignity for the sake of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do come before you and we thank you for your word. It just makes us remember what you've done for us. This life will soon be over. It'll soon be past. All the frustration, all the worrying, the stressing about doing this and doing that, it's all going to be gone. It was all temporary, and it's all going to be gone. And now what we've been doing, especially in studying your word, Lord, that is going to represent hugely for all eternity, because we took the time, even though we didn't have the time, we didn't want to make the time. We took the time, Father, and you are going to reward us richly for it as we sit at your table because of what your Son did for us. And Lord, we look forward to that time in giving us our dignity, even though we're still sinners. You're an awesome Father, and we thank you, Lord. Go before us and bless the rest of this day as we lift it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.